You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello. Welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me today, as always, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, my man?
Man, nothing much. Just, you know, got off work, but I had a good night. I listened, you know, we're on thechairshot.com, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I actually caught up on my podcast, which never happens. I'm always behind. I don't know about you, but I'm literally always behind. So I was like, I didn't have anything to listen to. So I was going through the Chair Shots feed, and I was like, man, I think Greg makes great points on Twitter, but I never really gotten a chance to listen to his show. So I got to listen to his show, and I really did enjoy it. I mean, the back and forth banter. What makes his different is he does a lot of the one episode I saw her, I listened to, he had a lot of sound bites and clips, and I thought it was very entertaining. It was perfect for my ADD because something was always going down. So it was like you had to be listening, but they had a really good topic on the show. And that's kind of what inspired our show today. I had to send it to you because I think you're going to have, to me, I really wanted to talk about on the show to hear your point of view. I have my point of view.
Yeah.
I really wanted to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to let you set it up and
yeah,
we'll talk about it.
For sure. For sure. So you wrote me about 9:30 last night and was like, dude, listen to Greg's latest episode. They're talking about booking prices and stuff like that. And I had read a little bit about, I knew what you were talking about. I didn't know the whole story. I just had seen people going crazy about this tweet. Some people for it, some people against it. And I want to go off of what you said real quick. I haven't listened to every single episode of Greg DeMarco's show on thechairshot.com, Chairshot Radio. But I agree, dude. His show was absolutely awesome. It is. You know, ours goes directly up. Ours is like a true, ours is like a radio morning show, in the, you know, minus the music. Ours is just a straight show, where he had like the song of the week. He had some sound bites from Jimmy Rave's first match back in ROH and a couple other things like that. It was really cool. It was the first time in a while that I sit down and listen to one of his episodes, and I have to totally agree. Anybody that hasn't listened to Greg DeMarco's show on thechairshot.com, please go check it out. It was awesome. And to go into the tweet that you were talking about, so I'll set it up here, and then I'll read the tweet. So there is a wrestler, a female wrestler, which, weirdly enough, she has been a guest on Greg's show in the past. He said, did you hear him say that at the beginning?
I did.
So I thought that was, I was like, whoa, what a small world, you know? And she lives in the Florida area. And her and her boyfriend, who is named Hunter, I don't know his last name. Greg didn't elaborate on his last name. He didn't want to give this guy, he didn't want to, you know, give any more negative press than was already being given to these people. Because he said they were nice people. But this is what she tweeted out. She put, there is a promoter, and she put promoter like in parentheses, kind of like being, I guess, kind of like being a smartass, you know. There's a promoter in North Carolina who offered Hunter $40 to drive 11 plus hours and wrestle. Hunter declines because, duh. The guy comes back and says, if I make it $45, is that okay? In what world does that cover, number one, gas, or two, any medical treatment if anything bad happened? So what she's complaining about here is the fact that, you know, a promoter is offering a spot on the card to her boyfriend, but he has to drive 11 hours to come and wrestle, and he's going to get paid $40. And real quick, I want to read the I want to read the most popular reply was actually from Sami Callihan, and Sami Callihan said, "It's called paying your dues. Maybe this new generation should learn it. Many before you drove 12 plus hours with zero guarantees. It's called getting your name out there. Same as a band trying to make it. Everyone is so entitled." Without wanting to do the work. First off, man, where should we start? Where should we start, Floyd?
Man, I want to know, me personally, I want to know, just because something has always been done that way, does that mean it's right and should continue?
Yeah, that's a very good place to start. I'm going to get a sip of my coffee because we're going to be here for a minute.
Yes.
I slurped it on purpose just because, you know, this is an audio podcast and I wanted people to hear it. But no, seriously. So first off, I want to say that I have driven, I wouldn't say 12 hours, but I've driven 5.5 hours one way one time to do commentary for free, in the hopes that it would get me other bookings. So I drove 11 hours round trip on my own dime before.
Yeah. I've driven 33 hours one way just to watch an event that I paid to go see. So to me, that doesn't even sound like that big a damn deal.
Right, right. I want to start exactly where you said. I just wanted to say that so people know, you know, that I'm speaking. I didn't take that 11-hour drive round trip, that 5.5 hours one way. I did not take that to take bumps. So I can't speak for the medical treatment part, but I did go on my own dime, meaning I paid for my own hotel, my own gas, and my own time to go do commentary. And I got there, I set up the ring, I set up every single chair. Well, I set up half the chairs because it was me and another wrestler was out there helping me set up chairs. So we probably put up 220 chairs, 225 chairs apiece, because I think we end up selling 480 seats. So, but, you know, so it is a little bit different because I'm still in training. So I didn't drive all that way and then put my body on the line on top of it. You know what I mean? But I understand where both people are coming from. I understand where Sami Callihan's coming from because I have, you know, I see, you know, he's been paying dues for 12, 15 years to finally get to where, you know, he's certified on Twitter. He's making hundreds, if not $1,000 a match now. He's known all across the wrestling world now, you know? You know, so it paid off for him. But, you know, when you're coming from someone like Aria's position, Aria Blake's boyfriend Hunter's position, yeah, that sucks, having to drive 11 hours for a $40 paycheck. That does suck. And I wish it wasn't like that. But, I mean, we have to look at it. We have to look at it realistically, right? So we don't know who that Hunter guy is, right? So, and you and I are two really big independent wrestling fans. So if we don't know who Hunter is, chances are he can't draw a house, right? So, Absolutely. So if I'm a promoter, if me and Floyd are co-promoters and we're putting on a big show and we're going to book a guy who we know, we don't know that Hunter's a good wrestler, but let's say that we know he's a decent worker. But no one knows who he is. Are we going to expect him? How can we pay him $150 a match if he can't draw five people? Right?
Yeah. So, I agree.
Yeah. So I see it's my point of view is like I'm looking at it from, you know, I'm trying to look at the whole situation, and I really do wish that every wrestler that gets in the ring could make a $100 bill no matter what. I wish they could make $500 no matter what. But the reality is the promoter has to turn some kind of profit. He can't just pay, thousands of dollars to put on a show and it come out of his pocket because he has to pay really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And my example is this, and this is a real world example, because I'm not going to ever come from the wrestling example because I haven't worked in the business. But let's just say I live on North Oklahoma City, and I want to work in Norman, which is about 40 miles away. And I decide I want to work at McDonald's in Norman, right?
Right.
So I go apply for the McDonald's in Norman. They say, we're going to pay you $7.25 an hour, right? Well, I'm coming all the way from North Oklahoma City. That's not McDonald's problem, is it?
That's true. That's a good point.
I have a fee that I'm willing to pay you, right? I don't care if you're in Florida. I don't care if you're in Texas. I don't care if you're in Washington. This is how much this spot pays. If that's not enough for you, then okay, I'll find someone else that can take this spot.
Right. Yeah, so, I understand 100% where you're coming from.
Because, if you're thinking on a wrestling end, you have a budget. You say, okay, the venue costs this much. Insurance costs this much. This is how much I have in a pool to pay wrestlers.
Right.
Or pay wrestlers. This is how much I have in a pool for this. Right? So I'm pretty sure when you're doing these, you can't go over budget. There's not a lot of wiggle room for budget. So you're like, okay, I got $1,500 to pay wrestlers to be on this show, right?
Right.
I got a big name, and I'm paying him $500. So now I got to put 11, 12 other wrestlers, and I have $1,000 to do it. You're not helping me put butts in seats, right? You're literally getting on my card so you can get your name out there and experience. I'm kind of doing you a favor in this case.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to throw you $40. Yeah, I'm going to throw you $20 or whatever. Because your purpose is you need a live crowd to work in front of to start to build your character, to learn how to work.
Yep.
So we're kind of scratching each other's back here.
Yep.
Because I could probably find another local guy that would probably come work on my show who lives like 5 minutes away. He might not be as good as you, but he lives like 5 minutes away and he'll work for $10.
Yeah.
Or shit, he'll put up the ring and put up the chairs just so he can work a match.
Yeah.
So what are you bringing that makes you $40 more valuable than what I could probably get for free?
Right. Yeah, that is a extremely valid point. I know you used McDonald's as the example, and I don't want to get, and I know that was just an example that you were talking.
I just used them because they're a minimum wage job.
Right. Right.
They have a set amount that they start at, and it's like, I don't care where you're coming from. This is how much I pay.
Right, right.
They don't take into fact, oh, you're coming from North Carolina, Oklahoma City? Well, let me pay you $10.50 an hour.
Yeah. No,
they don't do that.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. And without getting too political, I am a big proponent of minimum wage reform. I think that, certain businesses that make $11 billion a year in profit should be required to pay their employees more. I think anybody on earth that works 40 hours a week and is a functioning member of society that pays taxes, they get off their ass, they go work, they are contributing something to their local economy by paying state, local, and federal taxes, they should be able to make a livable wage. But that's a totally different conversation. I don't want to get political. We're just talking, like we were talking in the sense of wrestling. And the key word in all of that is profit. And, we'll use me as an example. When I drove all that way and worked, set up the whole place, tore the whole place down and did the commentary 100% for free on my own dime. The reason I did that again is because I'm trying to get my name out there. I want to, you know, I work in this business full time. I'm very fortunate to do that, but I don't make a lot of money, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting to chase my dream, and that's why I'm in the wrestling academy that I'm training at, you know, multiple days a week. But I know even when I graduate the academy and I start working 2 and 3 matches every weekend, like I'll probably even get paid less than what I do right now to do commentary, you know, because there's so many workers out there that are working for so very little, you know, that, you know, the business is flush with greenhorn workers like myself. So, and from what I understand, I don't know. Well, you listened to the Greg's episode, so he was talking about, and I didn't know this. You might have known this, but I didn't know this. A lot of people in Orlando, a lot of workers in Orlando, actually have a hard time making money because so many people will work for free. Because I guess Orlando has been flooded with professional wrestlers trying to be close to the Performance Center, thinking that they will get on WWE's radar and get a spot in the Performance Center. Did you know that?
I know that. I did know that. Barbie Hayden actually did a GoFundMe to support her move to Orlando.
That's right. I remember you telling me that now that you said that.
So the whole thing is, my thing is, WWE has proven if you have talent, it doesn't matter if you already live in Florida.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they plucked Paige out of the UK. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if they want you, they'll get you.
I was going to say, Walter just signed
from Germany.
He's from Germany.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Keith Lee was from Texas. It's like Matt Riddle. I think he lived in Las Vegas. And, you know, he filed out. He wrestled. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
If you're talented, you'll get signed. So, but I wanted to get back to my original question. Just because things are done a certain way, and they've been done that way, does that mean it's right?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I do not think it is right at all. It sucks that wrestlers can't make a livable wage when they start out. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, I know people that have been wrestling for 5 years and get $60.
They still have a regular job.
Yeah, they make $60 a match and they have to work, you know, a 40-hour-a-week job. You know, and it's not just a hobby to them. They're trying to make it in the wrestling business. They just, you know, are having to pay dues, and they're still, you know, basically they still feel like they're paying dues even though they're great workers. So no, I don't think the system is right in a moral sense to pay someone $40 to put their life on the line in a wrestling ring. But I mean, if you're going to go work a show in Bristow, Oklahoma, where 28 people are in, you know, 28 people have paid $10 a piece to get in there, I mean, how is the promoter supposed to pay everyone on the card a $100 bill? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to make this a little more personal for me, because there's, believe me, there's a lot of industries that have worked this. So both my parents, I had to, grew up with my mom and dad. My dad had 11 kids. He worked as a mechanic on the airplanes at Tinker, and my mom was a manager at a consumer research company. Actually, in the 80s, early 90s, they actually had really good jobs. My dad had 11 kids, so we kind of grew up broke. The reason I bring this up is my dad taught me, and my mom taught me, the most valuable thing you have is time. Because you only have a certain amount of it, and you don't know how much you do have of it. So your most valuable asset is time. So when I got to college, and I'm sitting there, and this is a long-winded way to get to my point, but I'm in college, and I'm literally going to school every day, and I have no idea what I want to do, right?
Right.
So I'm really getting into football. I'm really getting into college football. And I decided, you know what? I always liked football. I wasn't very athletic, but maybe I could coach. And then I heard about Mike Holmgren and Mike Leach, and those are two coaches that have never played football. They never played football, like not even on a high school level.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Mike Holmgren was a high school teacher and then he was a football coach, and then Mike Leach is, you know, they all came from, like, teaching backgrounds. Well, I decided, you know what, maybe I can do that. I've always been intelligent. I have a passion for football. I can recognize patterns and details, and I think I'm pretty good at talking and motivating people.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to get into coaching. So I start. I don't know anyone that coached in a college or professional level, so I figured what a stake. So I started doing research, and Mike Leach was the coach at Texas Tech. I was like, you know what? I can go there, go to school, get around the program, hopefully try to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started reading books, and I found out this. So you graduate, you get work on the team, you try to get around the team. It's highly competitive to try to get around the team, but you get around the team. You get through with college, and then maybe you become a grad assistant. And a grad assistant is basically someone that's going to grad school and then also works for the football team. So I think you get, like, your school paid for and then, like, a stipend.
Gotcha.
But then they have interns. They get paid nothing. And from what I can tell, just based on skill, the way I had come up to the conclusion, it was like 5 to 6 years of basically free labor before I could make any money. Maybe be assistant strength and conditioning coach. I'm like, not even make a lot of money, just make a decent amount of money. Right.
Right.
Just like a livable wage. And for me, you know, I was, you know, I'm definitely a civilian looking into the world, and I'm like, I love football, but I don't do working for free. and seriously, it's the reason I never got in coaching.
Right.
It's like my parents, because like I said, my dad worked a hard job. My mom worked a job that she hated. And they both worked at their jobs forever. And it was, work wasn't something you like, but you need to get paid for your time. Your time is valuable. So it was just like, to me, by working for free, I am telling you that my time isn't worth anything. Now, I wasn't big picture enough to think, oh, I'm getting paid in learning, because I don't know shit about football. I'm not a, you know, I know football, but I don't know the deep depths of how to teach a three technique, how to teach a lineman to block, and how to teach a tackle to snap. I didn't know I was getting paid in knowledge.
Right. Yeah, there's so many of us out there that love, absolutely love football and can talk football, but we don't realize how little we know about football until you put us in a conversation with, like, even a high school football coach. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You wouldn't
yes.
realize just how little you know, a basic fan like myself knows about football. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like I had taken out books and all that stuff about football, and I still didn't know shit. And I was just like, but, you know, I was young, I was dumb, I thought I knew everything, and it was just like, why would I work for free? And I was like, I didn't realize you are getting paid in knowledge. They're pouring into you everything that they know, which will allow you to take that information. You're not getting paid in money, but you're getting paid knowledge, but you'll be able to take that information, take the organizational structure, take offenses that you learn. You're learning a skill that you will be able to use, and if you can adapt that skill to a high level, to make millions of dollars. But then, again, with me, the numbers started getting to me, and it's like, I'm pretty sure there's hundreds of assistant coaches, you know, thousands of this, and, you know, and at the time, there was 107 Division I programs, and I was like, there's literally only 107 of these jobs.
Yeah, and no telling how many people are in school right now to...
that think in the same way as me, and then there's 32 NFL jobs. And I was like, I don't have any family in coaching. I don't have a mentor. I just let the gravity of how big everything is make me decide I didn't want to do it. So to everyone that goes out there, everyone that goes out, and first of all, you make that step and just say, you know what, I'm going to be a head football coach. I'm going to be a wrestler, which the numbers on wrestlers is, you know, how many people make are signed with the WWE and make an actual livable, comfortable wage is as opposed to how many people start training. Yeah, it doesn't even touch. Like, football doesn't even touch. you know. I'm pretty sure someone looked it up. There's probably like 200 or 300 people every day starting training.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the WWE roster is considered one of like the biggest rosters, and they probably have 100 and 150 wrestlers.
Right, right.
So you're basically starting off against thousands of people for like 150 spots.
Yeah, yeah, and like Greg said on the show, Greg lives in Arizona, and he said in his local community, he started off by saying that back in the day, it was a real niche thing to get into, in the sense that, you know, you had to prove yourself, you know, you had to know the right people, you had to be in the right area to find someone to train you to become a professional wrestler. Now, he said in his area, there's so many, like, schools, and I use air quotes because, you know, he went on to elaborate just like how loosely defined the word school is used out there, but he said that you could get trained for $200. Now, there's not that cheap a training around here, because I tell you, I paid a lot more than $200 to get in, you know, for the academy that I'm in, but that shows you that if you can scrape together in certain areas of the United States, you can scrape together a very small amount of money and be trained enough to go out and work. So, yeah, there's just, you're going against thousands upon thousands of other professional athletes that, you know, and some of them are in areas that they will work for free. They're, you know, and it's just, so I don't like the system that is set up, you know, in professional wrestling that basically requires you to work for little to no money at all starting out. But I mean, how do you get away from this system? You know,
I mean, if you get away from this system, they made a very good point on the show, and I just want to drive this home. It would kill indie wrestling.
I agree.
It would. Yeah. It would kill indie wrestling.
Yeah, because, you know, if no one, and this is to prove your point, right? Like, if what you're saying is if no one will work for less than $100, then how can you put on, you know, 7 matches? Because first off, that's $1,400 right off the top right there, right?
Yeah.
And what happens if you only draw 50 people paying $10 a piece, you know, and you got to book the venue, you got to pay for insurance, you got to do all of this. You're not going to make any money. You're coming out of pocket.
Yeah, I would do this. And this is me as, you know, if I were promoting the city and I would hire local people, and I'd be like, okay, so it's $5 to get in. Here's 20 tickets. However many tickets you sell is how much you get paid.
Oh, snap. Hey, that's actually not a bad idea.
it's like, hey, there's 200...
Uh-oh, is Cody making his entrance?
You know, someone's calling me, unfortunately. It's like, it's 200 people, and it's 200 people in here. You know, I would keep, like, 50 tickets, but I'm like, hey, you got 100 tickets. I mean, you got 20 tickets. You sell all 20, hey, that's $100 in your pocket.
Right. Yeah, like, that's not... And, you know, and you're doing it for yourself, not just in the sense of money, but you're having input on how big the crowd is. The bigger the crowd, the more practice you get working in front of a crowd. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't know how far that would go, but this is because, like I said, I'm an outsider. But, yeah, and it's like, you know, I have my big money guy or whatever, and like, bring merchandise and all that kind of stuff to sell. But the thing about it is, like, I don't think it's a system to me that can change. I mean, the WWE's doing a lot, but they're never going to be it. I've always said, like, I've had a lot of dreams that, like, if I won the lottery. Like, right now, my whole thing is, if I won the lottery, I would hire, I would get one of those, like, big barns, and then I'd have a house, and I'd do, like, a talent search, and I would do basically a reality TV show about the like 16 people's journeys to becoming a wrestler.
Dude, that's cool. That'd be cool, man.
Yeah, then like, and you know, have different levels. Like, someone, I've never taken a bump. Cool. and then you have this guy, and just to be like, let's, like, what you get, you know, there's no big super prize at it. You get trained for free, you get food, you get drink, you know, you get food and stuff, and it'd be kind of like the dojo. Your job, you take care of the area, and we train you to wrestle, you know, that kind of thing. But I've always, like I said, I have a lot of thoughts, but I haven't worked in it. I'm like, I have friends in it, the business, and I'm doing my best to learn it and ask questions and do all those type of things, because there's stuff I don't even think of. I didn't know rings were as expensive as they were.
Yeah, dude, those things are crazy expensive.
Yeah, he said it's $400 to rent a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, wow. I was like, yeah, it was like, if I ever got to the point where I could run a show, my whole thing was, I'm going to run a show, and me, for me, I would just be happy to run a show. Run a show, it goes off, people are entertained, great. I would plan to lose money. Now that I've known so much and I've learned so much about what it's going from listening to people, I'm like, I would plan to lose money. Right. My goal would just be to run a show. And that's just weird how hard it is. Cause I wonder how like local companies here make money.
Yeah.
Cause like I went to one, and I'm not trying to name names cause I don't want them to come out cheap. Their VIP tickets were $10.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, how many tickets are you going to sell?
Yeah.
And then, so how much are you paying the wrestlers? Are you making money?
Yeah.
Or are you just doing a show? I don't know. Because, you know, when you're fantasy booking, you're like, dude, if it was me, I'd get Malico, I'd get Fuego, and I'd get Chandler the Truth Hopkins, and man, we tear the house down. And then you think about it, those are names in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They're not going to work for $10.
Right.
They're going to want to get paid.
Right.
I mean, Malico's a draw, you know?
Absolutely.
Chandler, people know his name. He's a draw. Fuego's a draw, yep. You know? They're going to want to get paid.
Yep.
You know?
I agree. But
it's easy when you're fantasy booking. You don't got to think about actually how much those guys would want.
Yeah. No, and I agree 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but now, you know, when I'm thinking about this, I've learned, I'm starting to, oh, yeah. So, and it's like, and then some people are like, well, I'll work for this much, but this is all I'm going to do. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, I'll work for a little less than my quote, but I'm only going to do a run-in, or I'm only going to cut a promo, or something like that. And it's just like, you got to work inside this box. So, it is, the idea of running a show seems like impossibly hard, but unlike many things in my world, I kind of want to take on that challenge. I think it's something I want to do.
I think you'd be great at it, man. I think you'd be absolutely great at it. I've actually talked to people before. I think specifically I've told my wife before that I could see you one day running a show, you know? And if you think about it, being a new promoter would probably be like being a new wrestler in a lot of ways, because you probably have to figure that your first couple of shows, you're not going to make a profit, you know? Yeah. Because if you're, let's say that you didn't buy into a promotion. Let's say you started your own promotion. So you got FPW, Floyd's Professional Wrestling. You're going to run in North Oklahoma City, your first show. You're going to pay, you know, Chandler, the young gun Chandler Hopkins versus Fuego del So in the main event, Dirty Andy Dalton versus Malico in the co, you know, and then you got four matches below them, you know, from local guys. Let's say you sell, you know, 100 tickets. By the time you pay your talent, rent the ring, front the money for concession, you know, you pay the venue, all of that, you know, you're probably going to be coming out of pocket for some of it, you know? And the chances of you being a new promotion, a promotion that no one's ever heard of, you know, the chances that you're going to sell 100 tickets, that's kind of hard to believe, you know what I mean? And that's not a knock on you, that's anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you run a good show for six consecutive months, or, you know, if you're running, let's say you run weekly shows, if you run, you know, 8 straight shows, 2 months worth of awesome shows, and people start, you know, wrestling fans start hearing about it, and more people start coming every week, and all of a sudden you're an underground sensation, you got a cult following and stuff, then you can start making money. But, I mean, I don't see, unless you've just got some crazy sponsorships that you somehow pulled out of your ass, like I don't see how new promoters make a profit either. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, when Greg started talking numbers, when he started talking numbers on the show, which is very, you know, very inside baseball, and he started talking numbers, I was like, how does anybody make money?
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I was like, how do you make money on this? And it's like, I have a promoter friend, and, you know, I, you know, basically started peppering him with questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he give you some insight? Like, oh, bro, yeah. It's yeah. Hard.
He's like, dude, I'll teach you anything you want to know. And I was like, I'm actually very interested in this now, because it's just the idea. It's like, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. You know what I mean? You just like, you think you know, but the idea, insurance costs this much a show. Like, that was the big one, is like, every show needs to be insured. And Oklahoma, I think you have to have a doctor in the building, right?
I'm not for sure on that.
I know. You know, in some states, like, you go through the sports thing, and you have to have a physician on site.
Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but I wouldn't doubt it. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad rule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, but yeah, physician's not going to work for a hot dog and a Coke, though.
Nah, he ain't going to work for a smile and a handshake.
So it's just like, dude, those, you know, you got to pay. And it's just like, you start thinking about it and you put it in. But yeah, like I said, when it comes to wrestling, it's like, you have to want it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this one, and I don't know if you've ever watched this YouTube video. It was this black guy, and he was talking about, you have to want to succeed more than you want to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was so overdramatic when I used to watch it. And I was like, I realized, to be the needle in, I wouldn't even call it the haystack. It's like, you're a needle in 3 haystacks. To be that needle in that haystack, you have to want it more than you want to breathe.
That's so true. Man, that's actually pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Who said that?
Dude, honestly, it was one of those things that, like, when I first got on YouTube, it was a video that got passed around. I probably could find it real quick.
And what was the quote one more time?
You gotta wanna succeed more than you wanna breathe.
Gotcha. I like that, man. I like it. I like it a lot. So I wanted to talk about one more thing that's about Aria Blake and her tweet. So apparently, let's see, how do I want to word this? So Greg went on to talk about that he is in a Facebook group with Aria Blake's boyfriend, whose first name is Hunter. And apparently he's been getting all kinds of slack from people about complaining about his payoffs and stuff like that. And apparently, Greg said that Hunter was like, hey guys, you know, I didn't say that, you know, that's not how I felt about the situation. That was my girlfriend's personal opinion. And she actually tweeted out a reply to some people who were telling her, you know, you got to pay your dues, stop bitching and stuff like that. And she tweeted out, that is not where I'm coming from at all. My sentiments reflect on me, not him nor anyone else. My opinion is mine. I'm more than aware of sacrifices, and you don't know mine or anyone else's. I get it. Take ownership. That's that. So that's got to suck, right? That she was blowing off steam, whether it was right or wrong, and he's actually getting a lot of the shit from everyone on social media, right?
Yeah, it's the social media world we unfortunately live in right now. And honestly, worlds don't generally go backwards, so it's probably will get worse before it gets better. He made no comment. He didn't like it. He didn't retweet it. He didn't even know that it happened until after it blew up.
Right.
And every comment was at him, really, not at her.
Right.
He didn't even complain, but Sammy Callahan was saying, your boyfriend needs to learn about paying dues, you know? he went at him.
Right.
Not at her.
Yeah. The another tweet that I seen about this was this person named Jay on Twitter that said pretty much she said right or wrong. The tweet is the Bucks and Cody will mention this shit about wrestlers being underpaid and everyone agrees with them. But when an independent wrestler complains about a payoff, she gets attacked on Twitter.
It's absolutely true, though.
Yeah, and I would yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
But the thing is, the Cody and the Bucks all have paid their dues.
That's true. That's exactly where I was going to go with it too. That's exactly.
They've all paid their dues. They're rock stars right now. They're basically the Backstreet Boys of wrestling. That's what the Elite are.
Yeah. They've paid their dues, whether it's right or wrong, whether they liked it or didn't like it, they had to do it, and now that they are in a position where they can make a profit and pay a livable wage to wrestlers, they are kind of giving back in a way if you think about it.
But yeah, but they're not hiring people you've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're still hiring people that have paid their dues already.
Exactly. So the thing about paying dues, my thing is, I wanted to ask you, and this is a very specific situation, because Braun Strowman, a lot of people got on him about not paying his dues, but what he said is, I did pay my dues. I was a professional bodybuilder. He's like, I was up on the roads paying to go to cheap hotels and blah, 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 not paying very much money to show up to bodybuilding shows.
Yeah, so yes, strongman contests and stuff like that.
Strongman contests, yeah. And so, yeah, I didn't pay my dues in wrestling, but I did pay my dues in bodybuilding. Do you think those dues transfer?
Yeah, that's a whole nother tough one right there. Because, dude, I had to pay some serious dues when I was an 18-year-old kid in the infantry. I went to Iraq at 18 years old. I got picked on so much. I got, you know, my nose was in the dirt doing hundreds of push-ups for hours on end simply because I was the new guy and I had to learn my place. When I graduated from taking shit in the military and being a private, I got out of the military, survived Iraq. I went and became a firefighter EMT where I paid my dues there and was picked on all the time and cleaned latrines, cleaned the same toilets twice, three times a day, showing that, you know, I was a new guy and a part of the team. I worked as a flight paramedic. I went to paramedic school, worked as a flight paramedic, and I paid dues as a new paramedic. And then I transferred fire departments to one of the busiest fire stations in the state of Oklahoma, where I had to start paying dues all over again with that crew. So I've paid dues five different times in my adult life, you know? So, I mean, I don't know if those dues that he's paid should necessarily translate. I feel his pain. But at the same time, I can see where people are like, well, yeah, I mean, you did pay your dues in that industry, but this is a whole new industry.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I paid my dues in the call center industry, you know?
Right.
I worked at DirecTV and got cussed out every day.
Oh, man, I bet you got so much shit, dude.
Yeah, and it's like to get to where I am right now, where I do make a very comfortable wage to work on the phones.
Right.
You know? But... So, and yeah, and I've put in shit 15 years,
right?
You know, so does that mean I should go to the main roster of the WWE because I paid my dues in call center?
Right. Yeah. No, I see your point. I see your point.
Yeah. So, like I said, I didn't think that was valid, but I always wondered. I mean, do dues transfer? Because to me, like you said, you've paid your dues many different times, and now you're about to pay your dues as a wrestler
all over again. Yeah. And I didn't even, you know, I'm paying dues as a wrestling commentator and a wrestling student right now. And then when I graduate from being a student, I'm going to have to work and drive, you know, all over the country for practically little to no money and, you know, and be the low man on the totem pole in that regard as well. So, You know, I've been paying dues the last 10 freaking years. Dude,
yeah, I was going to say, but look, I'm just going to set up a scenario for you. Let's just rewind back to All In.
Okay.
All right, you meet Cody at a local show, and he says, dude, I can't pay you, but I will put you in the Battle Royal on the show. You just got to make it to Chicago.
Oh, yeah. You asking me if I could, if I would do it?
Yeah.
I would move heaven and earth to move to be there, just in the hopes that I might make it on camera and might get bookings off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. The advantage that you'll have is that I'll already be driving there, so you'll be like, dude, can I catch a ride? No, but it's just like, it's just the logic of it. I honestly don't know. I don't know. I love wrestling. I love wrestling, but I've never been a performer. Never considered myself a performer. But if the WWE said, right now, Floyd, quit your job. You can come and be an intern on our writing staff, right?
Right.
And you would have actual input on what happens on TV every week, but it's either unpaid or very low-paying internship. Yeah, I do it.
Yeah, that would, you know, with the hopes of it leading into a full-time paid job, right?
Yeah, I take the gamble.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I agree.
I think I'm creative enough that I will beat out whoever else is there.
And I agree. And like I said, like I've told my wife before, that I can see you being a promoter one day, and I hope that for you. You know what I mean? And if you start promoting your own shows, you better have me at least on the curtain jerker or something, bro.
dude, it's like in Oklahoma. Like, I have so many people I would work with. I would love what me and Malin Co could come up with.
I know, dude. Y'all two together in a room for a couple hours.
Yeah, dude. He would definitely either be my champion, or he would at least be my Jake the Snake, the guy that just doesn't need the belt.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, because I just think he's super talented. And I'm just like, dude, talented, passionate people, especially when it comes to wrestling, favorite thing in the world.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just the whole idea of it. And it's like, dude, I'm one of those people. I can honestly say this now, I'm not promoting a show. If someone comes and they're like, you want to work for free? And then they tear it up. Dude, I'm going to find $20 to give them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm
going to find
some. Even if it just has to come out of my pocket from my regular civilian job,
right?
Dude, you busted your ass. Because that's my big thing. I think if you're not paying people a lot of money, I don't think you're going to get your best performances from them.
Yeah.
And I've been to some shows where it looked pretty phoned in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know the crowd was only 7,500 people. But you know how you get people coming? You bust your ass for those 7,500 people. Because those 7,500 people, you know what they do? They're going to go tell their friends, you know?
Yep.
Just because to me, like, this is me. If I go to a shitty indie show, you will never hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to an indie show and it's amazing, I will never stop talking about it.
Yep. No, so, I know what you mean, man. Everyone, remember like on, was it Wayne's World, where he said they're going to tell three friends, and they're going to tell three friends, and they're going to tell three friends? You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know, word gets around.
Yeah, that's why I try never to phone it in on these podcasts. I bring my A game every day.
Absolutely.
Because I want you to tell your friends, and then I'm going to tell your friends, hey, you got to listen to this guy. He's a little weird sometimes, but he's passionate.
Right.
And that's what I always hope comes across this, is passion.
For sure.
I'm like, I might not have the most radio voice or friendly voice or whatever, but I love what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, man.
Yeah, but everyone, yeah, like I said, anyone that takes that first step to train, to go on a road, I commend, I respect you. Even if you took one bump and decided it wasn't for you, I still respect you. Because taking that first step when you know the journey is going to be thousands of miles, I tip my hat to you. Because a lot of people want to – I didn't even take that first step. So I tip my hat to everyone that does.
I got you.
Like, I tip my hat to you, Jordan. You've been in there and you've bumped and you've worked and you've announced and you've put together a ring. Dude, you knew even you're a little older, you knew the trail is still long.
Oh, you know? Yeah, yep.
And it's just like the fact that you took that step and you believed in yourself, dude, you're like, I commend you. It's like, you are the people I look up to.
Well, I truly appreciate the kind words, man. It's very humbling to hear that. I truly appreciate it, my man. Very much so. Real quick, before we go, man, I want to ask you one other thing that's totally unrelated to what we were just talking about. Have you been keeping up with the James Ellsworth saga?
Yes, and exactly what I thought when it came out is what he's claiming.
Which is
that it wasn't him. It was just somebody pretending to be him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like it was a fake account. It wasn't from the James Ellsworth with the check. It was a fake account. That's what I thought.
That's what you thought?
It's what I thought the whole time.
Yeah. And do you know if any of that has been proven or disproven or anything yet?
No, it has not been proven or disproven. Gotcha. I'm not on James Ellsworth's side. I'm on the side of the truth.
Yeah.
It's just the pictures that I saw, how they were done, it looked like anybody could have had those pictures.
I got you. Yeah, the reason I brought it up is because while I was on Twitter this morning, I seen that he released a statement, let's see, November 28th. Yeah. Is that today or is that yesterday? That was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, so he released it, and let's see, it was at 7, so last night, 7:06 p.m. November 28th, and he said that it was a social media stunt devised to end my professional wrestling career. So, I guess we'll wait and see. I just wanted to know if you had been following it or not.
I'm just going to read what he said real quick.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's hear it.
Recently, allegations of misconduct have been lodged against me, which I categorically deny. I never have, nor will I ever engage in any activity that could be deemed inappropriate or disrespectful. My delay in publicly commenting on the situation was based on advice of my legal team, which has just completed a thorough investigation. My attorneys have pinpointed a trusted witness who is willing to testify on my behalf. In addition, they have uncovered concrete evidence that supports my innocence and proves that without a shadow of a doubt, the social media accounts alleged to be mine are fake and that the messages from the account were fraudulently created without my knowledge or consent. My only hope is to restore my reputation along with my family, friends, and supporters that have suffered because of a social media stunt devised to end my professional wrestling career. My team and I are prepared to pursue legal action against any party that persists with the promotion of these lies.
Yeah. So he did release a statement, and he did give a reason for why he waited so long to address the situation, and whether he did it or not, like, I will not criticize him taking a while to respond, because I would much rather see someone take a few days to, you know, wait and respond rather than just start lashing out, you know, because they're angry at the situation. You know what I mean? So at least that was a mature thing to do. But, you know, if he is guilty, you know, I would not even consider condoning it, you know.
As a statement. If he's guilty, throw him under the jail. But I've met James Ellsworth, and I was at All In, and I saw him interact with people all that weekend. And I'm not saying that weekend is an amalgam of his whole life, but lots of women came up to him. And he was just the same guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like... There was plenty of women there. If he wanted to randomly hook up, you were there.
Yeah.
There was a ton of women there if he wanted to randomly hook up. And like I said, you know, people put on different masks. I just never saw it. And I'm not saying I would ever see it, but I didn't see it. And it's just like, it would be, if he's like that, if he's creepy like that, it sucks. And, you know, and I hate that had the girl go through that, but I have... I literally have a friend who was thought blue check mark and all, thought she was going back and forth with Ice Cube.
Really?
On Facebook. He had the blue check mark.
Really?
Asking to see, asking to her to send pictures, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, it clearly wasn't Ice Cube.
Right. But he had the blue check mark and everything?
He had the blue check mark.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, people are good at making these fake accounts. I'm not saying categorically that's the thing with James Ellsworth, but understand, with media, I work in IT. This is what I do.
Right.
You know, I know. I know that people can do this.
Right.
And my job is to defend companies against people that do stuff like this. So I know it's possible. It's
right.
Like a lot of people are like, well, that just seems unlikely. He's creepy looking. Yes. And in this case, his looks will get discriminated on.
Yeah.
He doesn't look handsome. You know, if this was Cody, no one would believe it. Simply put, he's Cody. No one would believe that. What girl wouldn't want to be with Cody? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But James Ellsworth, oh, he's creepy looking, so he must be a creepy dude. Yep. He doesn't have a chin. He must be a sexual predator. But you gotta know, I'm being real. That's a line of thinking, right?
No, I agree. I see your point for sure.
Yeah, most people don't accuse handsome people of being inappropriate.
Or maybe they just. I think the way that I would word that, I agree with you. I think that, how do I want to word that? I think they probably get more people give them the benefit of the doubt if it's some Brad Pitt looking guy rather than a James Ellsworth guy. And I'm not saying we should give James Ellsworth the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying that, you know what I mean? I just think if it was Brad Pitt, maybe, I don't know. It's such a touchy subject because it's a minor, and anytime a minor is involved, it's never, ever, ever okay. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hate that we have to say that.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's not okay to break the law.
You know what I mean? Right.
It's not
right.
Okay to break the law. What I'm saying is, I'm an okay looking dude, and I'm a talker, right? And I talk to strangers quite a bit. I get mistaken for being flirted with, that I'm flirting with people all the time. Because I ask questions, I try to talk to them.
You got that gift of gab, baby.
Yes, I'm a talker. But I'm in love with my fiance, and I have no intention of being with another woman. But you don't understand how many people are like, they like look at you like, no, they give you the no, I'm not interested look, and I'm like, I'm not trying to date you. We're standing in line to meet Marty or, you know, Cody or whatever, and we have to stand here for another hour. So I was like, let's strike up a conversation and pass some time.
Right, right.
That's all I want. But, but you know, like I said, it gets mistaken quite a bit, and it's just like, I tell people, like me, like I said, I'm an okay looking guy, but I'm a big dude. You know, I'm fat. I don't have no problem saying that. I'm fat. So it's just like, maybe it's intimidating. I don't know. I'm just a happy-go-lucky person. So, but people that look like that, you know, like James Ellsworth, he's kind of balding. He's got the no chin. He's got the really goatee. You know what I mean? And it's just like, his character was built as creepy in the WWE.
True.
So all that, you know, you don't understand how many people, whatever character you play, they think the people are really like that.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, like Bray Wyatt, if you ever meet him or see him outside, he is the happiest, go lucky, joking, talking guy you will ever meet.
Yeah. That's really cool. I've never heard that before about
a mean streak or anything about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go up to Pete Dunne, he won't say anything to you.
Oh, Pete Dunne, quiet dude?
Yeah,
he's or just like a quiet, dick?
Very quiet dude. He's not a dick. He's just quiet.
Just a quiet guy?
Yeah, he wants to talk to his friends. You know what I mean? He's just
that kind of guy.
And it's just like, but he comes off as very outgoing. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's just like, you don't know these people.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's the key, is that you don't know these people. They're not going to be what you think they are.
Right,
you know what I
right.
mean? They're just good. Cody's always selling. He's like always selling.
Yeah.
He's always like getting you to the next event or next show, trying to build up your excitement thing. He's a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get like a personal conversation from Cody. It's like, it's not going to be like, hey, how's your dog or whatever. It's just, you know, it's just a very formal wrestling conversation. I know I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent. I'm just, but the key is, don't think you know these people.
No, I know. I know what you mean. I know where you're going with it.
Let's chat a beer with them and chatted it up like you have with quite a few wrestlers. You know, and just think about it. If you knew anyone, the amount that you knew these wrestlers, would you think you know them? And the answer is no.
Right.
You know?
Right,
I worked at Sprint, and someone's like, yeah, I worked at Sprint the same time. I was like, I didn't even know you existed. You know, and it's just like, and I was in a much closer vicinity than I am with someone like Cody.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's me rambling a little bit. I'm just like, he could have done it. He couldn't have done it. I just hate the Twitter world where people read one tweet and decide that they know everything that happened.
No, I know what you mean. And let's hope. Let's hope everything gets worked out. If it is true, like you said, throw him underneath the jail. And you know, if he's false, yeah, if it's false, I hope he's vindicated. You know,
they find the guy.
good vibes to all parties involved. You know, hopefully it gets worked out.
When trying to reach out to people on social media,
yeah,
just be
right.
Blue check marks are good. They are a good indicator that the account is probably active. But if you get talking to a wrestler and they are getting overly personal with you on Twitter or Instagram, that is probably not them.
Probably not. tell us where you spend the weekends at, Floyd.
Dude, I host a show on the Chair Shot Network called Around the Ring. It's me and my friend Ryan. Ryan is the oldest young person you'll ever meet. It's always a fun back and forth show. You can follow us on Twitter at Around the Ring OK, or like our page on Facebook at Around the Ring OK. Ask us questions. We're very interactive. As I am on the show and I talk, I am this way in real life. So,
faux show, sure. I can attest to that. Yep. And Floyd, as always, absolutely love doing the show with you. Oh, dude, we forgot to mention. I got to say, congratulations to you, Floyd. Congratulations to myself, because the two of us won second place overall in the Wrestle Hubs podcast or Wrestling Podcast Year-End Awards, I think is how it should be said. Let's see. The Wrestle Hubs Wrestling Podcast Awards Podcast of the Year. We placed second. There was 13,000 total fan votes, and we got second place. So, woo!
Dude, I'm very excited with that. I mean, like I said, it was when we started, you just needed a fill-in once a week, and we pretty much started doing the show every day. I look forward to it every day. It's part of my stress relief from working. I get it all talking about wrestling.
Yeah, dude, and I truly appreciate it. Yeah, like you said, we were just going to do, like, every two or three days. I mean, I was going to do the show every day, but, like, you know, you signed on to do, you know, like, you know, one or two times a week, and then you and I jive so well, and we actually became friends outside of the show, and it's just turned in, you know, like you said, to our daily routine. Every day when you get off work, we do, you know, 45 to 60 minutes on thechairshot.com for the daily morning show, and dude, I mean, thousands of people every single day are streaming our two voices, and you know, this is our art. This is mine and your art right here. I look at us as artists, and we're, you know, two of the luckiest people on the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned, because we get to talk about wrestling every day. You know what I mean? There's so many people out there, so many wrestling fans out there that would love to be able to do this. You know what I mean? And we get to do it every single morning, Monday through Friday. So, and to have so many people support us and to vote, I mean, thousands of people, 13,000 total votes, and we came in second place overall. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. So thank you, every single person out there. If you voted for us, even if you didn't vote for us, if you tune in, we truly appreciate it. We could not. We are getting to live our dream because you tune in. It's absolutely amazing. So we truly appreciate it so very much. And I appreciate you, Floyd. Like I said, you and I have turned this show into just an absolute just. Just an amazing thing. It's my dream come true. It's art. And dude, it's just couldn't do it without you, man. So I truly appreciate it very much from the bottom of my heart. And congratulations to you, man, because we got second freaking place.
Yeah, we did. Definitely. Like I said, I'm happy about it. We're shooting for first for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how we do. Representing the chair shot, man. I freaking love this website.
Absolutely. Same here, my man. So for everyone out there, once again, thank y'all from Floyd and myself. We truly appreciate it. Everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you pegged. Ha! But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?